It's Columbia Morning at News Talk 1400 KFRU, and I don't think we'll pursue what we've been talking about off the air, but it would be interesting. We could open it up and have other people talk about the same thing.
Let me try a different sound
coming through that. Dwayne Carey is here, Sheriff of the Boone County Sheriff's Department.
There we go.
And we will see where we end up in our conversation. I knew I needed to ask you about the budget because that is happening at this time of the year. Although, the city decides on its budget last night for fiscal year 2018. The county's on a little bit different schedule than that.
Right. So we go off of the calendar year, so it'll start January 1st. Our budget was due September 1st to the auditor. Still working on it. I have a budget meeting right after this. That'll go 2 or 3 hours this morning. And then my team of budget administrator and command staff and I will then present to the commission actually on Monday, this coming Monday, our budget and the needs that we need to have addressed. We don't have too many wants because over the last 12 and a half years, we've kind of developed a process to where we'll put all wants and needs together as we do our preparation, and then the wants get cut out just because it's been lean, especially you go back to 08 really to about 2011. There wasn't any extra, recession and all that. So we just identify the needs. One of the things that I'm trying to point out to the commission is the fact that, Prop L passed back in 2002, and we have not added any new deputies out of that tax for 15 years. And I think everybody would agree, including yourself, that it's changed a lot here in Columbia Boone County over the last 15 years. And so I need to start. We've restructured as much as we can restructure in-house, where we've taken positions and moved them over to do other positions to address needs. But the problem is we just don't have any more people or places to restructure. So I'm asking for some new folks this year in the budget. We'll see how that goes. And the problem with Prop L is this, back in 2002, it's an eighth of a cent that was passed. Technology was a piece of that. When you start talking about the mobile data terminals, the in-car cameras, and you remember all of that. The issue as technology has advanced, tasers weren't part of that. The license plate readers weren't part of that. And then the maintenance cost for all that technology wasn't included. And so those dollars really start adding up. And then what I'm faced with as the manager, the law enforcement manager, is the fact that there is only so much money that sales tax generates, and I can't really expand the department because it's been tapped out for a couple of years. And so not crying on your shoulder or anybody else's, this is like widespread across the country. Everybody needs more money. Everybody needs more people. I don't talk about it a whole lot because we get by with what we have, but at some juncture, if people are wanting the service from us that they want, then we've got to have more people. In fact, I was talking to Dan Atwell, telling him that, we're not too far from a point of maybe, having to cut some of the extra stuff we do. And we like to think of ourselves as team players. If they want active shooter training down at the government center or the courthouse, we'll assign 4 or 5 people to it on overtime, and we send them down there to do it. Same with the schools. We try to help everybody. Ashland PD, if they call Centralia PD, it doesn't matter. Right now we're covering the town of Sturgeon because they don't have a full-time police officer. So we like to think that we're in this together as a team, and I preach a lot of team stuff within our department. Used to use a lot of Lombardi quotes, and so it's all about the group making it better. But the problem is, eventually, if you just don't have enough hours in the day and enough people to do it, you either have to add more people or you have to kind of cut back on some of that team approach.
When you look at the needs and when you talk about asking for a budget that would include additional personnel, would they be deputies on the road? How many and what are you looking for?
So, you want to come with a moderate need. We've been asking for another, what we call a reactive detective, the last several years in the budget, and it's been cut from the budget the last several years. And that is your child abuse, burglaries, you know, reacting to the crimes that the patrol deputies are investigating, then that forwards to the investigator, the reactive detective. Evidence custodian is my top priority. Again, when we moved into the new building, which isn't new anymore, 1991, we had one evidence custodian. Today, in 2017, we have one evidence custodian. So the issue that you have is a lot more cases and a lot more video pertaining to those cases that the evidence custodian then on Sunshine Law request or request from the prosecutor's office or whoever is then having to go back and make copies. Everything in the jail has to be copied. And actually, Keith Hoskins, who you've met, the detention director, does a lot of that just because the evidence custodian can't keep up with it. So that's my top priority is the evidence custodian. And then we're asking for two proactive deputies for the road. Again, as I've talked about for years, I think we had another shooting last night in Columbia. We've got to get a handle on this gun violence. And so the way you do that is you be proactive and you have, you know, we do two-person teams, I think much like the city of Columbia with their street crimes unit, two-person teams that are targeting those individuals that are on our whiteboard. As we know, they're drug dealers, they're gangbangers, they're associated with gun violence, and those are the individuals that we're going out trying to stop and target. And so that's also a priority for me as well.
Evidence custodian, can that be a civilian, or does that have to be somebody going through the training of a law enforcement?
No, it can be a civilian. And in fact, our position today is a civilian position.
When you talk about Prop L, and people might forget what that was 15 years ago, that wasn't for personnel. You couldn't, could you?
No, there was personnel. So there were 11 road deputies. We added a transport unit to our corrections, which we now call detention, which was five. And then there were some clerical people, because anytime you add a bunch of deputies, you're going to need more clerical folks. And so there was a total of about 20 in that. And then equipment associated with those. And again, that's what a lot of folks just miss out on. When you start talking about if you're going to add a deputy, then you're adding a patrol car. You're adding all the equipment that goes into that patrol car, all the equipment to outfit the deputy on their person, and then the extra stuff that, you know, they keep in the backseat in the bag or the trunk or whatever the case might be. So it gets pretty darn expensive just to outfit one FTE, one full-time employee is what we call them, FTE. And so, I don't know if we're at the point of going back to the voters, and nobody that's listening to me say this right now is wanting us to do that. But at some juncture, if you want the service, you got to pay for it, unfortunately. And I can tell you, we've done as much restructuring, you know, even building wise, to be honest with you, David. I mean, our command staff back in the jail, all of our command staff's in one office just because we don't have any other place to expand. And so, you know, if I'm a captain and I'm wanting to talk to you as an employee about a disciplinary matter, the other three have to get up and conceivably leave. But so we're kind of packed in there like sardines. My lieutenant's on the road sharing office just because we don't have any expandable space presently. And so that's something that'll be looked at, you know, down the road. And again, we get by, not complaining, love what we do. Everybody enjoys coming to work. And but the point of it is at some juncture, you just got to have more revenue that can help pay for the expenditures.
How many people are employed by the Sheriff's Department?
You know, I don't know presently right now. The number is like around 150 to 160 total, I think. Of course, we're down staff. I mean, we're double digit down in the jail, and I think probably three or four on the road.
So. Last time you were here, a month ago, you were talking about the jail and how you were going to kind of change something so that those who didn't want to have the contact with the inmates would be able to be in kind of an observer role. They probably wouldn't be paid as much as those that would be in contact. Have you started that? Is that underway?
Yes, we have started that, and that's called a detention support officer, what we are now calling a detention control room officer. And so people that just don't want to fight inmates that have feces on them or they're violent or whatever, it's just not for them, but they like being in that industry, in that profession. And so we think that's going to help us out a lot. And that process has started. We had, 20 some odd people maybe apply, and we have seven of those positions to fill. And so we think that's going to be a benefit. And then I also met with all of our leaders, which are the sergeants and the command staff in the jail, and expressed the concern I had that maybe we weren't being as consistent as we needed to be. And so we started addressing some of the issues with that. The problem that you have back there is, you know, you'll have four squads and they work 12-hour shifts. And so each squad, and I always tell them, I don't expect every leader to have the same personality or every squad to do the exact same thing. But the example that I give them is, if you've got a sheet of music, I need you somewhere on that same sheet of music, not on the back cover, but one can be up in the left corner, one could be on the bottom right, but I got to have you on the same sheet. And so we're working on addressing some of those things as well. And yeah, I mean, good times. And I mean, I love this time of year. The budget part really does a lot for me. I enjoy working with our staff and, you know, developing the strategy of how you're going to present. And so, yeah, it's a good time of year.
Dwayne Carey is our guest, Sheriff of Boone County. Two things came to mind what you were talking about right there. One, the analogy is kind of interesting about the sheet of music, but then also it made me think of anybody who's been in the hospital for a long amount of time understands what you're saying in the jail situation. When different shifts come in,
right,
you've got different personalities. And so you know who your nurses are or who the staff is at a hospital. So it's, you're saying the same thing.
Sure. And it's just human nature. Yeah. I mean, we're all different, but somehow we need to draw upon those consistencies that we know we have to be able to perform.
So how many budget proposals have you prepared and presented?
Well, when I was elected in 04, Ted was really gracious. And of course I had been involved in the budget as a captain. So, I mean, I had done the fleet and some other stuff, but, Ted Boehm, the former sheriff, allowed me to take the 04 budget and do what I wanted to do since it was going to be, you know, a new department in 05. So, gosh, probably 13, 14,
yeah,
something like that.
Probably about 14 if you count 04 as the starting point as number one. Can you remember what it was like in 04, 05, 06, and maybe 07 before we got to the recession in 08? And how does it feel different, so different now?
Yeah, ironically, David, we've been doing a lot of talking about that in our office, and that's one of the meetings that we're having today. Easier, you know, because you're coming in new. Little more flexibility on restructuring. They might have been more willing to give a little bit because you're coming in and you're trying to put, you know, your stamp on the department. Mm-hmm. And then also just different commissioners. I mean, you know, back to our point about hospital and jail, different commissioners you deal with in different ways. And so, you know, right now we're fortunate to have a good group of three, and Brown nosing them a little bit before my meeting Monday. And but yeah, it got real lean in 08, and everybody became team players in the county. And I thought the auditor did a really good job during that 2 or 3 year span of keeping us to where we had money in reserve, you know, where a lot of municipalities and counties, states were hurting financially. We weren't hurting financially. We weren't just addressing a lot of the needs. And so came out of that roughly in about 11. And, you know, usually government's a little slower than the private sector coming out. But yeah, it's a really neat process. It's a long process, but it's just neat looking through that and then going back and referencing something from, say, 03 or 07 to then develop your plan for 17. And so I like that a lot.
I think you've worked with the same auditor all the time. June Pitchford has always done this. So you can anticipate what her response is going to be.
Right. And you know, we try to be transparent with each other. So like I'll go down and meet with her and talk to her about some of my plans, maybe a couple months in advance. I was just in her office the other day visiting a little bit about this along with some other stuff. And so, I think if you're upfront and kind of transparent, that helps a little bit.
But what do you hear a lot from her? What was is going to say? Yeah, I know you need this.
Right, right. And we have a good relationship, but we agree to disagree on some stuff. So, in fact, we were emailing back and forth late Friday night, like around 9 o'clock. And so, but no, it's all good. And you know, as long as it's a fair and equitable process, I'm good with that. And I understand that we're never going to get everything that we asked for, even though they are all needs. But it's still a process. So
they would be hesitant to say anything about increasing the Prop L percentage, especially in regard to the fact that the commissioners have said they're on board with a use tax vote.
Right. So that is something, depending on what happens in November, conceivably could help that Prop L budget, is if that would happen to pass, the commission can then direct that money wherever mm-hmm. they think it needs to go. And so that could be kind of the savior, air quotes, for Prop L, is if that use tax did pass, some of that money could be directed to help us with our shortfalls. Because the problem right now is sales tax, from what the auditor's telling me, is flat at best and possibly negative. And so if we know in 2017 we have more expenditures than revenue coming in, 2018 looks pretty bleak, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. But as I always say, it's all good.
It's all good. Caller, did you have a question or comment for the sheriff? Good morning.
Good morning, Sheriff Perry.
Hey, Jack.
I've been living here for over 20 years in Boone County, and I know what you're talking about, the changes that have taken place in the 20 years. We did not have all these shootings. We did not have all the people dealing in drugs. We did not have all these other problems we have today. And I can just say that it amazes me that you have been able to keep up with it, at least keep it under control in the county, to the extent that we have it, but we still have a good sheriff's department, because I've always had very good dealings with people. And mainly because you're maybe be shorthanded, but you always seem to be available when needed. And I can understand why you need to add more deputies, because the county has changed the face of it. Because I don't even know Boone County today what it was 20 years ago. So I just wanted to pass that on, that you've got a group of good professionals, and I deal with them off and on. And I think you do a very good job with what you have.
Appreciate the call.
Jack, thanks. Appreciate it, Jack. And I know Brian got back with you on that traffic study, so we're always there for you. But, yeah, you know, interestingly enough, based on what Jack just said, of course, I've lived here all my life, but and again, more ironic, but the evidence custodian for the Sheriff's Department, she and I grew up together. Now, she went to Rockbridge, I went to Hickman. But we were talking about just the other day how our kids probably don't get to experience the same things that she and I got to experience growing up. And so anybody that lived in this community that's around my age of 50, and but, you know, when we were kids, our parents would let us go to downtown Columbia. There was a place called Pin Pan Alley. It was a video game arcade place. And then across the street was a good pizza place there next to Fieldhouse. But back in our day, our parents would let us go downtown because you didn't worry about, you know, parents didn't worry about that. And that's been, what, gosh, 35, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Didn't worry about their kids being downtown. And so today, you know, of course, mine are, you know, out of college or in college now. But in high school, yeah, I wasn't allowing them to go down there and stay till 12:30 or 1 o'clock.
Is it because of the college atmosphere different now? Or the
society?
No,
it's society. I mean, no one wants to be accountable for anything. You know, obviously, the college atmosphere has spread to downtown just with all the high-rise type apartments and all of that. But it's just it's just a different way that we live with the violence. You know, we've talked about it a bunch here, where 25 years ago, if you were downtown, you might see a fistfight break out. Today, you're probably going to see shots fired and people scrambling everywhere across the street. And so, and you know, and the thing about it, nowhere is safe anymore. You know, and again, I tell people this all the time, that, you know, it used to be that everybody stereotyped the north part of Columbia as the bad part to live. Well, hell, I mean, now it's everywhere throughout Columbia and Boone County. So there's really no safe place. But she and I were talking about how our kids didn't get to experience the same, I won't say childhood, but teenage and young years like she and I did, just because as parents, we didn't allow them to do the stuff that we got to do.
Hmm. You mentioned a shooting perhaps last night. Is it that's an example of what you're talking about?
Oh, I mean, we have one, what, every night, every other night? Or you know.
Shots fired. I mean, a couple of nights ago, somebody was killed,
yeah.
And that person was from
sure.
Kansas City.
Right. But, I mean, but you just never know what's going to happen, and it could happen downtown, it could happen southwest, it could happen in the parking lot of Hy-Vee on Conley.
Yeah, I mean, I made the comment also that the time of day, it surprises me, because sometimes it happens at 10 on a Sunday morning,
sure.
Or at 1:30 on a weekday afternoon.
Scary. And so here's the deal. So when the retaliation is going to occur, the thugs are looking for the individual or the vehicle that the individual is in with associates. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter when they find it, that's when it's going to take place. So if you remember the one we had at 63 and 70 that ended up at Verizon, you know, and that should be the big concern this community has, is whose innocent family is going to get struck with one of those AK rounds, you know, at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, you know? And so that's what we've got to get a handle on. And the fact that we're no longer talking about a 22 caliber round or a 380 caliber round, the small handgun type rounds. I believe cities had several that have been AK-47 related, to where they're just filling the side of the car with AK-47 rounds. And that becomes dangerous, to the point of where not only do we worry about the citizenry, but I'm worrying about the deputies and the police officers that are on the street when they encounter that. And so we're looking at taking measures, and again, it's budgetary, to provide them a better safety feature for if they encounter that. So it's constantly, society, I don't think, is going in the right direction. Personal opinion, take it for what you think it's worth. Not going in the right direction, but all of that affects what we do in the law enforcement business on how we manage, how we budget, what we're going to need to protect our folks, what we're going to need to provide them the tools to do their job effectively. You know, I was looking at the news this morning about the Georgia Tech thing, and they were talking about, well, if they had tasers, well, guess what? If they had tasers, somebody would be criticizing them for tasing. You know, it's just, it's become a no-win job for the cop on the street, and it's really, really unfortunate.
I hate to end it at that, but we're out of time.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Dwayne Carey has been our guest. This is KFRU.
But there's a lot of